May the peace of Christ be with you. This is Molly Vetter, Senior Pastor of the Westwood United Methodist Church in Los Angeles. Welcome to our Sanctuary Gathering podcast. Here we share the sermon preached on Sunday as a part of our Sanctuary Gathering. We hope that in these words you will be drawn closer to God and made more ready to love your neighbor. As a congregation, we embrace the words of the Hebrew prophet that are etched into the stairs that lead to our building, the calling to do justice, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with our God. We also believe that we're a richer congregation for the diversity of people who participate in our community, and we celebrate the diversity of age, race, gender identity, and sexual orientation that participate in our church. You are welcome in this place, and we hope you will participate. We invite you to do your own theology, to wrestle with questions of faith as we seek out what it means to be faithful Christians today. You're welcome to join us not only by listening in to this podcast, but we also invite you to join in our congregational life. Every Sunday, you're welcome to join us for worship at 9:30 a.m. You can join us in our beautiful sanctuary in Los Angeles at the corner of Warner and Wilshire, or online via our church Facebook page. All are welcome in our midst, and we thank you for being a part of our church. May these moments be a blessing to you today.
Our scripture lesson this morning is from the book of Acts, chapter 2, verses 1 through 21. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them.
Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites,
residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, and Asia,
Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya near Cyrene,
visitors from Rome, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues. Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, 'What does this mean?'
Some, however, made fun of them and said, 'They've had too much wine.'
Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and addressed the crowd. 'Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These people are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel.
In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams.
Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy.
I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs in the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke.
The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord.
And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved.
This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Will you pray with me? Holy Spirit, may my words and our thoughts and our lives reflect the fullness and beauty of your grace. We pray in your holy name. Amen. I've been excited about this Sunday, excited to share in the ritual of confirmation, apparently so much so that I didn't even think about where I would stand while I was preaching my sermon today. It is a gift to be a part of the work of the church and in the formation and support of young people who are growing up in our congregation. They're taking our faith seriously, continually reminds me about the call that's set before us. And I love that Pentecost is the traditional day when we celebrate the ritual of confirmation, because Pentecost is the birthday of the church. And this story that was read for us just moments ago in the book of Acts tells of a wondrous occasion of diversities of people gathered together in one place. You can imagine the noise and the chaos. You've perhaps experienced what it's like to be in a place where people are speaking languages around you that you cannot understand. The sort of disorientation that you feel in that moment. And then the Holy Spirit descended. It appeared like tongues of fire or waving ribbons of fire, like a dance in the heart of the people. The Holy Spirit arrived, and suddenly everyone was able to hear as if in their own language. This is so significant. It wasn't that everyone heard and the words spoken were in some magical language that transcended diversity and got everyone to hear in the same way. The Holy Spirit descended, and everyone heard as if in their own language. The Holy Spirit descended and affirmed diversity, was perceptible across the diversities embedded in them of the people who gathered in that place. They heard in their own languages. They didn't give up the languages they brought with them, the languages taught by their mothers and fathers and grandparents, but they heard the Holy Spirit in their own languages. From the beginning, the Holy Spirit's doing a radical thing that messes with us again and again. It's reminding us that God's work is not done, but it continues, that God shows up. And as the Holy Spirit gives birth to the church on that first day of Pentecost, it lets us know that the Holy Spirit is continually doing this work of giving birth to us, affirming the world as it is, becoming perceptible in the midst of the chaos and the mess and all that is here, becoming perceptible so that we can hear it as if in our own language. It gives me hope that in this moment, as we face the particular challenges that are before us as the church now, challenges that are different from any other point in the life of the world, as we face them, we do so with the Holy Spirit that's speaking to us in this moment, in a language that is perceptible by each of us across our diversities, that comes to us with full knowledge of the challenges that we face today. And we have significant challenges that we face. Our young people, our confirmation class knows it as much as any of us. We understand that we face challenges of a nation obsessed with gun violence and gun culture, that we face the challenges of a climate in crisis, the realities of racism that is institutionalized into the life and fabric of our nation and our church and our communities. We face challenges distinctive to this time that will require all of us working together, and I believe the gifting of the Holy Spirit, who on the day of Pentecost showed up and was perceptible to people in their own languages. It gives us assurance that we have a God who is still speaking, a Holy Spirit that's still showing up and guiding us as we are toward the church that we're called to be. This morning, as a part of the ritual of confirmation, I'm going to ask these incredible young people, and all of you because you're here today, some questions of faith that have been traditional to the church from its beginning. In the sacrament of baptism, those being baptized or those being confirmed have been asked to renounce evil and to accept Christ. And in our tradition, we phrase those questions in specific ways, but the promises are essentially the same and are fundamentally huge. We're called as the followers of Christ to resist evil. And there is evil in this world around us. We're tempted to descend to an individualistic way of seeing ourselves that pits us against our neighbors, that sees difference as a liability or a challenge or a reason to be afraid. We're tempted to see the resources of this world and want to grab them for ourselves and our own self-protection as much as we're able. And we are called to resist that evil that dehumanizes and degrades and commodifies. We're called to resist that evil. And then, in our second question that we ask in the ritual of baptism and confirmation, we're asked to accept the freedom and power that God gives us. We're asked to accept the freedom and power that God gives us to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves. There is a group of United Methodists who have these baptismal vows printed up in rainbow colors on t-shirts to raise money for efforts to help our whole denomination move toward full inclusion of LGBTQIA+ folks, full inclusion across the spectrum of gender identity and sexual orientation diversity. These are bold promises to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves. These are challenges that I continue to struggle to live up to, because injustice, evil, and oppression can be tantalizing, can catch us off guard when we descend to our own fears, when we give in to temptation, when we feel alone or isolated. But they're set before us. On the t-shirt, though, it leaves off those first phrases. Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you? And this week, as I've considered these baptismal vows, I've been obsessed with the idea that our ability to push back against injustice, oppression, and evil comes as God grants us freedom and power. Our story is a story of liberation and empowerment. And this day, as we officially welcome these young people into the body of the church, we're also reminding you, dear young people, that you have power and freedom in Christ. That you have power and freedom in our community and in your living. That you have been given by God the blessing of bearing God's image and the power to live out your faith, to push back against all that divides and isolates and dehumanizes. Our story is a story of freedom and power. The third baptismal vow that we ask in the sacrament of baptism and the ritual of confirmation is whether you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. Put your trust in His grace. It's another phrase I got hung up on this week. Will you put your trust in His grace? What does it mean to put your trust in God's grace? To claim and believe and depend on the fact that our God is a God of grace. A God who's eager to let us off the hook. A God who's eager to welcome us into the family. A God who's ready to make it right with us. Grace allows us to know that we're never known by the worst thing we've done. That we're known by our being the ones who bear Christ's image. Grace eases the way between us, makes it possible for us to reconcile when we've inevitably done something to harm someone else, intentionally or unintentionally. We trust in grace. We depend on a God of love. And we do that together with Christ Church, which includes people of all ages, nations, and races, as the vow says. With a church, the boundaries of which we don't actually get to choose. They come by gift of the Holy Spirit. And when we claim a trust in grace, we claim a belonging in that family. Family whose identity is grace. A family of those who accept a common calling to push back against evil and injustice and oppression. The calling of a family who choose to stand up for the sake of love, and compassion and justice. This day, in just a moment, as we share in the sacrament of baptism and ritual of confirmation, I'm going to ask these questions to our confirmands. I'm going to include their mentors and their parents, but I also want to include you. May this be an occasion to remember and reclaim, or perhaps claim for the first time, your belonging in Christ, your belonging in this high calling that you do not do alone, but that we share together as a congregation and as a part of Christ's church, which includes people around the world, speaking in different languages, affirming a Holy Spirit that shows up so we can hear it in our own language. May it be so. Amen.